Hello, and welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration comes to us from the final verses of chapter 4 of the book of Romans. We read, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, 'it was credited to him,' were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." This is God's word for our consideration. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. When you were a kid, who was your hero? Was it a ball player? A movie star? Someone that you really knew? Maybe a grandparent or a sibling? Or someone that you knew wasn't real? Like a superhero from a comic book or a character from your favorite novel? You know, there's this old adage about heroes. Never meet them. More times than not, the hero does not live up to your expectations. It's called the broken pedestal. You know what it looks like. The ball player blows you off. The movie star isn't as kind or as charismatic as they seem on screen or TV when you run into them. Even superheroes can let you down. Now, I know that they're not real, but studios are banking on people going to all of these superhero movies, Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman. How many of these movies match the hype, the anticipation that people have for them? How many times don't people say, "Oh, you saw that movie? I didn't like it very much, but it's my favorite book." But it isn't just athletes, actors, and movies that let a person down. Even if your hero was someone that you really knew, this can happen. Maybe you looked up to your grandparents. When they lose their temper, their mental sharpness, it can feel like you're losing a part of your hero. It can be tough to watch them falter and fail and grow old. Maybe you looked up to a sibling. It can be hard to see them make mistakes. It can be hard to accept that they're not what you thought they were. Now, we have personal heroes. As Americans, we have national heroes, but it's hard for us to understand and appreciate the level of hero that Abraham was to most of Paul's readers in Rome. Abraham was a mighty man, but a humble man. He was a patient man and a perseverant man. Most of all, Abraham was a faithful man. And from what we gather in the Gospels, Jewish people, and men in particular, took great pride in their connection to Abraham. To claim him as a father, an ancestor, this was a point of pride, a reason for Jewish people to boast. So in Romans chapter 4, Paul is really going for that particular jugular. He knew Abraham was honored, venerated. He wanted his readers to know why Abraham was considered righteous by God. So he quotes Genesis 15, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Now, Paul tells us that this was not written just for Abraham alone, but also for us. So even if Abraham wasn't one of your heroes, Paul is saying, listen up, Abraham's important. And what do we learn about Abraham? Well, he believed and was credited with righteousness. So naturally, we want to know more about what he believed, how he believed. We want to know more details about his faith, and Paul gives us that. In this section alone, Paul tells us quite a bit about Abraham's faith. In verse 18, he says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed." Verse 19, he says, without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And Sarah's too. Despite the fact that he was up there in years, well past the age of normally being able to conceive a child, he did not waver through unbelief. Now, he was strengthened in his faith. He gave glory to God. He was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. All of these things, Paul says, this is why it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, Paul is giving us a wonderful description of Abraham's tremendous faith in action. And so we might begin to think that that's what makes Abraham special. That yes, he was a man of mighty and bold actions, but it was his faith that was the reason that it was credited to him as righteousness. Maybe Abraham was a man who truly believed with all his heart. Maybe because he did not doubt or waver one bit, maybe that was the reason that he was considered righteous. Now, if you're thinking that way, I invite you to take a more careful look at the life of Abraham as it has been recorded for us in the book of Genesis. Now, Abraham was certainly a man of tremendous faith and bold dedication to the Lord. This is why he was such a hero to the Jewish people. Abraham picked up all of his worldly possessions and left Ur and became a nomad because God told him to. He trusted in the Lord to provide for all his needs, whether that was for the needs of his sheep and shepherds or protection and safety for his soldiers as they marched out into battle against four different kings. Abraham was a man who prayed boldly, even for wicked cities like Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was a man who was not afraid to suffer painful things for the Lord, including being circumcised at the age of 99. Just before Isaac was conceived. Even when Isaac was finally given a son, even when Abraham was finally given a son, Isaac, Abraham loved the Lord more than his own flesh and blood. He was willing to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah because God told him to. God stopped him and said, "Now I know you love me more than you love this son of the promise." Abraham was a man of tremendous faith and bold dedication. There's a good reason why he was a hero to many men and women. But Abraham was also a man who made some terrible and faithless choices. On two separate occasions, Abraham told foreign kings that Sarah was just his sister. He was afraid that they might kill him and take Sarah as their wife. After years of barrenness, Sarah finally broke down. She told Abraham, "I just want you to sleep with my servant Hagar. Then maybe we'll be blessed with a child." And instead of encouraging his wife, Abraham gave in. At one time, Abraham even questioned God's willingness to bless him as he promised, and he said it out loud directly to God. Abraham wasn't always faithful. Does that feel familiar? I mean, we'll look at the life of Abraham and we'll certainly recognize that we aren't as good as Abraham in his best moments. But when we look at his low moments, we see something quite familiar. How many times haven't we lied because it seemed advantageous in the moment? We're quite familiar with bending the truth to make ourselves look and feel and sound better. When we bicker with a loved one about what we said, even though we know we never really said it. Or we did, and now we're trying to defend ourselves, so we lie. Just like Abraham, we've manipulated people, we've gamed systems to get what we want when we want it. And just like Abraham, we've questioned God's plans and his will for us and for our loved ones. When things don't go our way, how quick are we to demand that God explain himself to us as if we deserve that right? There's so many times when we are more sure of ourselves, our plans, our strength, our abilities, than we are that God has what's best in mind. We waver and we doubt. At times our faith feels weak and deficient. when we take stock of the world, when we evaluate our individual situations, how often don't we wonder, how can God work any good out of this? How can he keep his promise when I'm going through this, when I don't have that? But remember what Paul says. This, all this, was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us who believe in him. Now, our faith is not flawless, but neither was Abraham's. Abraham knew his failures more than what was recorded in the book of Genesis. He knew that he was not strong enough, spiritually or physically. That's why Paul mentions the fact that Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. That's why he recognized that he needed to be strengthened in his faith. He couldn't talk himself into believing in God more. He couldn't persuade himself, so he returned to the promise of God. That's how he was strengthened. That's why he became fully persuaded. Abraham recognized his own incapacity and God's power. Abraham knew that God didn't need man's physical or spiritual strength to keep his promises. Abraham knew what Paul would write to Timothy. If we are faithless, God remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, God kept all of his promises to Abraham. He gave him the son that he promised, the descendants that he said he would. He gave those descendants the land that he showed Abraham, after they spent 400 years as slaves in Egypt, just as God told Abraham they would. But eventually, keeping those promises didn't really matter so much. Abraham's precious son, the one that he waited for, got old and died. When Abraham and Isaac and Jacob's descendants returned from Egypt, they quickly lost sight of the Lord. They acted faithlessly, and they forfeited the land and eventually were carried off into captivity. When they returned, nothing was quite the same as it was before, but God had a bigger plan and a bigger promise, a better son and a better place in mind for his people. That's why he told Abraham, "You will be the father of many nations. Through your descendants, all nations will be blessed." See, God was promising a son to bless all nations. Not Isaac, but Jesus. Jesus is the righteousness, the faithfulness that weak sinners need. And here's the wonderful thing about Jesus. He's the only hero who will never let you down. The more you watch him, the more you listen to what he has to say, the more you see what he's done, the more you will love and adore him. See, Jesus was always faithful. He never lied when it was advantageous. In fact, he spoke the truth, even when he knew it would cost him his life. Jesus lived a chaste life. But it was so much more than that. It isn't that he maintained some kind of pure sexual ethic, but Jesus never viewed other people as a commodity, something to be used for a cheap thrill or a momentary pleasure. Instead, he loved the weak and the powerless. He sought out the ostracized. He cared about everyone. He healed the diseased with his touch. He listened to the lonely. Now, this love for sinners led him to experience hell and the pain of the cross. Without wavering, he accepted this cup of suffering, saying to his Father, "Not my will, but yours be done." He never wavered. He never doubted. Instead, he was willingly delivered over to death for our sins. Jesus is the only hero who never lets you down. The more you get to know him, the more impressive he is. The more you speak with him, the more you realize how much he cares. The more you worship him, the more you see his amazing combination of power and love, justice and mercy, righteousness and grace. The more you know Jesus, the more you know what has been credited to your account. The more you recognize you could never earn or deserve this, but it is a gift of God by grace alone. As much as we are amazed by who Jesus is and what he has done, God tells us that through faith, this is how he sees you. Through faith, God sees Christ's active obedience as your active obedience. Through faith, God sees Jesus' faithfulness, his self-sacrificing, as yours. That's why Paul describes Abraham and his faith in such terms. It's not the strength of Abraham's believing that saved him, but the object of his faith. You have the same Christ as the cornerstone of your faith. He is the foundation of your life, your hope and your confidence for the future. So live like it. Live like God sees you. Trust that God has kept all his promises to you. Live with the kind of bold faith the Holy Spirit has gifted you with. Read the Word of God like children read comic books. Study it, treasure it, inwardly digest it, and trust that God continues to keep his promises. When you read that God forgives sinners, believe that. Believe that because of Jesus' sacrifice, God has forgiven all of your sins. Yes, even that one. Believe that God has paid the price for all the sins committed against you. Yes, even those ones. You don't need to look to your own heart to decide if you can find it in yourself to forgive that person. Instead, look to Christ. Believe God. Believe God when he says he loves you and knows what's best for you. Believe God when he tells you that he will provide you your daily bread. Not because at this moment you have the right amount in your retirement account, but because God has said he would do it. Believe God when he says, my grace is sufficient for you, even when you're weak. Believe God when he says his word won't return to him empty, but always accomplishes his purposes. Believe God when he says that he will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Believe God when he says that death has no sting or victory, because Christ has been raised for your justification. Believe God like a child. Let Jesus be the hero that you always dreamed of. The hero that one day you'll meet in heaven and never be let down. Amen.